The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's music time. We have John Cadell from rockylike.com and Nadine O'Regan, arts editor of the Sunday Business Post, presenter of Songs in the Key of Life on Today FM, and just back from Dingle after a very long weekend, but an enjoyable one.
A very long, very enjoyable, very music-packed weekend, trolling around the bars and taking in some of the brightest young talents going.
John, do you notice how she said music-packed weekend?
Yeah. You can imagine that was the primary reason. Yes. Yeah.
Do I not look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed?
You do, actually, surprisingly.
Because it's Tuesday afternoon. Yes, well, do you know what we're going to do today? And I suppose we're in the time of year where suddenly every hour you're going to hear some sort of Christmas song on the radio, or you go into a shop and you hear a complete loop of Christmas songs. And without wanting to sound like a Grinch, I hate it.
Well, before we get into it, Matt, you made a passing comment last week about Fairy Tale in New York.
I particularly hate that.
Yeah.
And I know that's heresy. I know you're supposed to.
But you have to tell me why.
Down and love it because it's blah, 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 blah. I'm just fed up listening to that dirge.
But here's the eternal question then. Does a song become less brilliant from overhearing? Or do you have to accept that it's a brilliant song even though you personally or whoever it might be are
never
tired
thought
of it?
Never thought of it as a brilliant song.
Did you not?
What?
No.
And what is it particularly about Fairy Tale that you find so stomach-churningly awful?
Everything.
Well, come on, specifics.
I can't articulate what it is. I just hate the damn sound of it. I just, oh God, here we have to listen to this.
Because it's diddly eye music like Nadine likes.
Yeah, a little bit like that, yeah. That might be it.
But do you not hear like the authenticity in the lyrics? Like it's an actual, genuine relationship being played out before your ears and it sounds like Christmas really sounds. Like, do you
want
to hear
E17
would Stay Another Day
instead? I would put forward that as the last classic Christmas song, but that's a whole other conversation.
Okay, listen, you know, there's people out there I know who'll probably be taking your side against me in relation to it. Let's hear a couple of minutes of Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues.
There was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank. An old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18-1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you, baby. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
You promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome.
You were pretty queen of New York City.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the drunks they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night. The boys of the NYPD choir were singing, go away, babe. And the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day.
Okay, you know, I was thinking there, maybe one of the main reasons at the start, it's almost like a Saturday Night Live sketch, sort of paddywhackery singing, half of it can't be understood.
Matt, you were so wrong.
Oh my good Jesus.
How can you listen to that? Like, there's
how
nothing
can I listen to
about
it? I'm forced
that
to listen to it on a regular
that
basis.
That isn't brilliant. Well, like, I mean, even if you hear it again and again and again, you have to stop and drink in those lyrics and drink in
if
the
If you
way-
can make out what the lyrics are.
Come on, nonsense. The way Shane McGowan sings that song, there's so much nostalgia and emotion in it. And then Kirsty MacColl comes in
and she brings the swing.
She is
and the swagger.
Yeah. It's, oh, come on. But no matter how often you hear it, you have to stop and hear it again anew.
No, you do. I mean, here's the thing. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Usually when the clips are playing, we're talking. Me and Nadine certainly were silent because...
This is music fascism. This is a Christmas music fascism. No, everyone is told they have to love the fairy tale in New York.
No.
Yes, they are.
Well, if that's the reason that you're pitting against it then, Matt, then you're as bad as everyone who says it's a...
No, I remember about 20 years ago, I remember authorising a full page in the Sunday Tribune to be written about the story of the creation of the song and all the rest of it and stuff like that. And I know there are people into it, but not me. So they are.
But you haven't really told us why.
I just don't like it, John. Jesus, I don't know how many times I have to tell you.
I'm not Leo Varadkar. Thanks.
I do like Stop the Cavalry, though.
Oh.
Hey, Mr. Churchill comes over here to say we're doing splendidly. But it's very cold out here in the snow, marching to and from the enemy. Oh, I say it's tough, I have had enough, can you stop the cavalry? Say, oh yes, yet again, can you stop the cavalry? Mary Bradley waits at home in the nuclear fallout zone. Wish I could be dancing now in the arms of the girl I love.
Matt, can I just say,
one of the great anti-war songs.
Can I just say, you have totally dissed a track with the most phenomenal lyrics on it in favour of praising a track.
Careful now.
Where the main lyrics are dumma dumma dum dum.
It's great, you can sing along to those. At least you can make up.
But Nadine, if those are the lyrics that you're listening to, well, then it says more about you than anyone.
Oh, but come on, that's the hook.
No, that's the hook, but the lyrics are very, very cutting.
For Christmas.
That's not even the.
Oh, God. Why don't we just play Chris Rea with Driving Home for Christmas if we're going to. Oh, for God's sake.
I wouldn't be a big fan either.
Yeah. Okay. Will we play the Kim Wilde one?
Oh, no.
Is this the new one? Why, this is F U Christmas.
By the way, can
by
I
Kim
just say,
Wilde,
this
a lot more death.
Fairly remarkable of Kim Wilde to be releasing an anti-Christmas song when she already has a Christmas album. She had a Christmas hit in the past. It's very convenient. Like.
It's not. She's not singing anti-Christmas. She's singing how good Christmas is and they're saying how crap it is because they're lawnmower death and they're rebels.
Well, they're parroting the whole idea of the Christmas hit, I guess, which is the point. But
we hear a bit of it?
Yeah,
no.
Okay.
Move on. Okay, I won't really be pushed if I never hear that again.
Yeah, it's kind of School of Rock, kind of.
Isn't it nonsense?
Yeah, it's the sort of thing that, look, it might do well as maybe a novelty hit, but actually I'd much prefer if, do you remember what happened back when Joe McElderry won X Factor and everyone was so against his particular Christmas hit that they decided to try and get Rage Against the Machine to number one instead. I think that was back in 2009. I'd prefer to see Rage Against the Machine go to number one again rather than Kim Wilde. And
I'm just looking at the earnings, the estimated royalties earned across by Christmas songs, and it turns a dreadful song. Slade's Merry Christmas Everybody.
I don't like
one.
That one either.
Hate it.
I
you
really
like that, John?
Don't.
Yes!
It's a thumping giant cliche. It's yeah. like, and you're in the bar and it comes on and then you have to get involved even though you hate it. And you're sort of sitting there and everyone's like raising a glass and you've been having a great time
up to now. It's called having fun, Nadine.
Yeah, and it's
you're
forced
have fun.
Fun.
Having that
it's forced fun.
Fun. Yeah.
It's
I'm
horrible.
With you, Nadine. It turns out the Pogues is number two. Oh God, number three, Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas.
She's having a laugh.
I don't know, like I'm usually supposed to be the cynical one, but I have absolutely nothing bad to say about most of the songs on this list.
Okay, one number five on the list of earning royalties is one of your picks for Christmas, Nadine. This is one we might enjoy and might agree on and enjoy.
Yes, Wham's Last Christmas. What's
tolerable, isn't it?
That's,
Christmas
that's
songs
pretty.
Just oh. It floats. That track just floats. And the video, they're in the snow and they've got the girlfriends. And it came out in 1984. And it's for some reason, 1984 was a great year
yeah.
for Christmas songs
yeah.
generally.
Did you know, Nadine and Matt, and you can impress your friends over the Christmas with this pop fact, it was originally called Last Summer. He wrote it as a summer anthem and then either they didn't record it in time or he had a change of heart. Last Christmas was originally last summer.
1984, was that the year of Band-Aid as well?
It was.
And I think
yeah.
The Power of Love as well was around that time. Frankie Goes
yeah,
to Hollywood.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
That's a good track.
Yeah. Yeah, which, you know, again, another kind of lovely Christmas anthem-y type feel to
Does
it.
Anyone actually like now Do They Know It's Christmas
yeah.
by Band-Aid?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Like, in fairness, I love the way all the vocals are a bit clashy. Like, they're not. They all sound a little bit underproduced, if anything. And that's part of the joy of it. It's a bit ramshackle.
Yeah, it is utterly ramshackle. And even the song was written on, I think most of the lyrics were written in the taxi on the way to the studio.
Yeah, yeah, it's Midjour, yeah. wasn't it? With Geldof.
Yeah, with Geldof, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's hear a little bit of it.
It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, let in light and we banish it. And in our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy. Throw your arms around the world at Christmas time.
So John Cadell's got his imaginary drums out.
Yeah, I tweeted
Phil Collins on the drums.
Yeah, I tweeted over the weekend that the three best things about Do They Know It's Christmas are number one, Phil Collins drumming, number two, Bono's delivery, and number three, Phil Collins drumming. Absolutely brilliant. Powerhouse. Absolute powerhouse drummer. We'll get into that another day. Yeah, Do They Know It's Christmas. It's I mean, Morrissey said it's one thing singing about the starving people of Africa. It's another thing torturing the English people by making them listen to that. I mean, it wears its heart utterly on its sleeve, and you can look back at it now very, very cynically, 33 years on. But, you know, there was great intentions behind it, and as a song, it still stands up, and okay. I love hearing it.
We better move on. I know you had other Christmas tracks picked up, but I don't think I have time for them.
Yeah, just to give a quick mention
just what they
to
were. Go on. I'm
Automata's Liberty Bell and Carol Keogh's singing lead on that. Such a great track. Came out in 2005, covered by the Dublin Gospel Choir, and it's such a Dublin Christmassy, gorgeous track.
Yeah. Your one, John?
Mine is called George and Andrew. It's by the Boyleys Likely To, and it's basically a song about George Michael and Andrew Ridgeley in a pub in Weybridge having a pint for Christmas. It's brilliant, and it sort of it follows the sort of the
should
drum.
I play those instead of playing the stuff I did play?
I'll play a little bit of it.
Oh, go on. So I'll play a bit of that one anyway, the George and Andy one.
It's Christmas Eve in Weybridge in a pub called the Quarryman, and you're sitting drinking all alone at the bar. He's been sitting there since lunchtime, talking about his farm, drinking Cornish knocker, when in walks his friend John, wearing aviators and a white linen suit. He pulls up a bar stool, sits down next to Andrew. At Christmas time it's nice to get together with your friend, especially the friends that.
I can't listen to her.
No, well, the whole crux of the song is that it's nice to meet up with friends you don't often meet up with, especially at Christmas time. And he says it's not Wham sitting at the bar on Christmas Eve. It's just two friends called George and Andrew who've known each other since they were 30.
Okay, let's really ruin the end of year. Spotify's most stream artist 2017 is...
Oh, of course it has to be Ed Sheeran. Who else? I mean, come on. The Shape of You is the most streamed track of all time now on Spotify with over 1.4 billion streams. When he pops up on the new Taylor Swift album, I'm there really enjoying the album, and then next thing Ed Sheeran arrives and you're like, oh, for God's sake, can you be anywhere? Can you exist anywhere?
It's like you're not allowed to have an opinion about him anymore. But like, he's nonsense. The man, I mean, he's a lovely chap, but it's nonsense, and it's the death of music, if you ask me.
By the way, I've listened to the new U2 album twice now. I'm underwhelmed, put it mildly.
I'm not. I think it's probably, certainly the opening track is the strongest opener since Octung Baby. Yeah, I mean, and I'm including Zeropa in that. Yeah, I think this it's not what you're expecting. It's a slow, mournful ballad, and it's like, Jesus, that takes balls.
I think the album drops off dramatically. You get a couple of tracks in and it tails away. From the couple of listens I've given to it, I will go back and try it again.
But I was worried because I didn't like either of the two big singles, and they appear in a row in the album. But I mean, and I still think they're not great, but if you listen to it without those songs, I love it. I have to say, I love it.
Okay, well, I'm standing by my original review. It's a 3-star to 3.5. That's where I'm at with it, I think.
I'm aware that I might have been sounding like the Christmas Grinch all evening so far, so I just want to try and end on a bit of a high. So let's get the picks of the week. New music to listen to.
Can I recommend Sigrid? I saw her in the church in Dingle at the weekend.
What's
she
the name for Al?
Is phenomenal. Now, I could tell John was going to come in with just, I'm going slightly off piece this week. She doesn't have an album. She has a lot of tracks on Spotify. She has an EP and she's a new single, Strangers. She is fantastic. She's fantastic. She is about 21 and honest to God, it's like a combination of Adele and Robin.
Let's hear Dynamite.
Don't know where I am with you. Forgetting time and space with you. Oh, I wish we had a common view. You see, my red is blue. I don't belong in your universe. Say, but I'm bolder. You get home, but I'm on my way out now. Not the same destinations. I will stay when you get off the train. you're safe as a mouse.
Is that not a bit X Factory clone? Oh, let's put a female voice on a piano and sound like Adele.
No, I recommended that one to listen to purely because it's maybe one of the more accessible, broader ones. But actually, if you're listening to the tracks as a whole, she goes more towards a kind of a synth pop. She's actually quite upbeat and absolutely not. That's just one of the more straight head ballads. The problem is with X Factor now, you can't listen to a ballad without thinking that it's been X Factorized.
No, it just sounds like something that wants to soundtrack a John Lewis ad.
All right, will you both go off?
I was trying to think of what it was.
You're just cynics.
Okay,
you haven't given enough a chance. Go back, have a listen, come back to me next week.
John Cadell, quickly, your choice.
Yeah, well, this one certainly isn't a 21-year-old. Neil Young and Promise of the Real. The new album came out on Friday. It's called The Visitor. And it might as well be called Trump is a Cock, because he absolutely goes to town on the President of the United States. For example, the opening track and lead single.
Is this fake music, so is it?
Yes. The opening track is called Already Great, which is a reference to Let's Make America
Let's
Great
hear it.
Again.
Thomas got back and managed to cut the chorus on us.
Yeah, I wouldn't get this for Christmas for Cal, by the way.
John Cadell, Nadine O'Regan, thank you very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.